Hello, everybody, and welcome to another gathering of Wolves in the city with Lee Gray
and Urban Wolf
and Carnage Kills.
Hey,
how is everybody?
I mean, I'm good or whatever.
Tired.
Really?
Yeah, it's Sunday.
What's up, honeys? Where was you last night?
I mean, I was dipping it and doing it. In Rich Mix.
Oh, I was there.
I know, but I didn't
shout
see
out to Rich Mix. Shout out to Ducky.
You.
Bitch.
I know, right?
Did you walk past me?
No. What's going on with Carnage? What's going on? How's your week, honey?
It's actually been so good. I've been working, and this weekend I've just been spending a lot of time with the family and kind of, you know, being real cute and stuff. Nothing major, just taking time out to invest in that family time, which is important.
Cute. What's the tea, Mr. Wolf? What's going on?
Well, guys, I have to fill you in on some things that go on in my life. First of all, yeah, so I went to get a checkup at the clinic, yeah, obviously, as you do, because I'm...
That's really good. I'm really proud of you.
As you should, because a lot of these hoes be doing shit and don't be getting checked, so...
Disclaimer, anyway, testing is important. Make sure you do it.
Exactly.
So I went to the doctors, and the doctors was like, oh, yeah, because you're black and whatever. Like, we're doing this trial. And obviously, I'm high risk.
Because a lot of black, they say a lot of like black ethnic minorities, you know, are more prone to getting HIV. Yeah,
and is that because they are having unprotected sex, wear a condom?
Yeah, well, because a lot of black men, they don't like to wear condoms.
Because of the way that it feels.
But anyway, so I went there and then they were like, do you want to do the PrEP trials? I was like, what the hell is that? They were like, oh, it's PrEP, like not PEP. I was just like, oh, okay.
I don't understand though, because PrEP is already available. You can get it like Dean Street. You can get a subscription and get it like...
You get a subscription.
Is it free though? Let me explain.
Basically, this is how it works. It's so weird because the reason why I want to share this is because I'm doing it. Everyone thinks I'm HIV positive. So I keep telling
you. You can't be HIV
positive. Believe it or
not,
that's literally everybody's reaction when I tell them.
Okay, well, explain what PrEP is. Okay, what is it?
So PrEP is like... the drug you can take to stop you from contracting HIV.
But it doesn't stop any other STDs, though. Disclaimer.
No, it doesn't. So you still get gonorrhea.
So you're still supposed to use a condom. Yeah, and you're still supposed to practice safe sex.
Yeah. But obviously, with other things, then you can take antibiotics and clear it simply. Mm-hmm. But with HIV, obviously, it's for life. So anyway, PrEP is a drug, you guys know, that you take before you have sex. Not PEP is the one you do after.
And it's like 99% eliminates...
Yeah.
The risk of contracting
HIV. I don't know.
The
lady who I was talking to, she was like, yeah, sometimes there's been cases in these trials where some people have still contracted it.
Because it's 99%.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never had 1%.
But you know when you hear 99%, you don't really get it. But anyway, so I'm really confused. So I signed up to do it. I didn't really think I would get on. The guy said to me, oh, yeah, we're going to put your name down, but it's not sure that you're going to get it. And obviously that drug is quite expensive. So anyway, they called me the other day. They sent me an email that was like, oh yeah, we didn't charge, we want you to be a part of it, da, 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 da. But I spoke to the lady about it, but I'm really, really confused.
I'm confused because you haven't explained what the trial is.
But, okay, so the trial,
yes,
yeah.
Before, not the trial.
Before it's rolled out on the NHS where you can get it like from the chemist, like the morning after pill, there needs to be so many trials.
Yeah.
Even when it's like prove it, it needs to be more than one trial to experiment and learn about different things of how to use the drug. So that's what I'm doing right now. So it's approved, but they're trying to see how they prescribe it.
And
how
also
they
the trial is free.
Yeah.
If you want PrEP now, you've got to pay.
You got to pay, yeah.
Yeah, so they give you the drug for free. But this is my problem. Obviously, you guys know that I deleted Grindr, right?
So you're not having sex at the
moment? I'm not having sex.
You got to download it back and then have sex, obviously. It's clinic.
The problem is that it's... I feel like a little bit of pressure to, number one, download Grindr and have sex, and then also have unprotected sex because I've now got this PrEP.
No, but what are the conditions of the trial? I don't get it. Like, what do they want you to do?
What you gotta do is you gotta download Grindr, you gotta have unprotected sex, gotta have a lot of unprotected sex, and you've got the best excuse. It's clinical, it's for the clinic, you're doing it for medical science.
So, can I ask, if you do end up with HIV, what happens then?
Then you sue.
The trial didn't work.
Then you can... Well, I don't know. I haven't signed the paperwork yet. But when you start it and you get the medication, I think you there is some what you do.
But they're surely not asking you to have unprotected sex.
Well, obviously they're not. But I was like saying to them,
was that implied?
Well, they no, are really. Implied,
no,
because then why would they give it to you?
Basically, I asked the lady, yeah, how do you use this medication? She said to me, oh, basically, like, you take it, like, the day before you have sex or whatever.
No, right.
It is, seriously.
No, wait, it's, you can take it two ways. You can take it either every day.
Yeah.
Right. For the rest of your life or whatever. You can take it every day because that's the most effective way.
Yeah.
Some people take it before they have sex and then they take it after they have sex. However, with that, it's more planned.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I was like, I have to fucking plan out my sex life.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I have to be like, on Tuesday, I'm going to have sex at 2 p.m. So I need to take it on Monday at 5 p.m.
Well, yeah, you know? That's
right. Like, I'm like, that's not sexy at all. Like, this is not even making me want to have sex.
But that's why it's better to take it every day.
I think for me, I like the idea of PrEP. I think it's going to put a lot of people's minds at ease because, you know, even me, when I go and get checked, even though I do practice safe sex, I'm still
obviously,
everyone's always nervous.
I need the text. Why does that text come? Kind of thing. And then when I get calls from strange numbers, I'm like, why are you calling me? So I think it will put a lot of people's minds at ease, but I hope that it doesn't encourage people to have more unprotected sex because obviously there's a 99% the defeat of not getting
I think
HIV.
It's maybe like the morning after pill, you know, like how even when you take that, like, in some rare cases you can still get pregnant.
Yeah, because I was conceived on the pill.
Yeah, so was I.
Yeah,
so but it's... then my mum was in Africa, so it doesn't the pill there don't really count. It's just
was it a placebo?
Basically, probably. That's how medication is in Africa. But yeah, so Lily, what's your gag of the week?
The gag of the week is, believe it or not, there are prejudices in the scene.
Oh, really?
Gasp. Really? Gasp. Oh, my God. And it's funny because whenever I talk to majority straight people about it, they're really surprised. And I think the reason for that is because, obviously, the LGBT community is a community for a lot of people. It's still marginalized. Mm-hmm. It's still thought of, like, as a weird or strange thing. And so the fact that we have prejudices against each other, I feel like, is shocking for a lot of people. Mm. And the reason why I've been thinking about this recently is because, listen, I think I have a crown now. I've been on the scene for 10 years this year. The first time I went out was to Heaven when I was 16 years old. And they used to have work there.
When I went
you
heaven,
have to work.
Work. You remember the party work that they used to have in Vauxhall?
Right, no.
Do you not remember it?
No.
Do you remember that
Heaven is a rite of passage?
You've only been out for like 3 days.
Heaven is a rite of passage for like gay men. Like, you have to go to Heaven. I went to Heaven on, because my birthday is April 26th. I went April 25th, but midnight. So technically my birthday.
Mm.
Right? Went there, lined up, they let me in.
What?
Yeah, they let me in because it was midnight.
Yeah,
This is my birthday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I think, like, every gay guy has to go to Heaven. Right now,
absolutely,
you'll never catch me in Heaven.
No.
Like, nowadays.
You have to go.
Yeah, nowadays, I'm bored of it. It's played out.
Right. I didn't want to say it. I didn't want to be the one to say it. I find it a bit
But you know
boring.
What? I'm sorry. If it's a Thursday night and there's nowhere to go and I want to go
out. Yeah, of course.
I'm not going to plan to go.
And the drinks
are
cheap.
It's cheap.
Not even then. I'd rather be in bed.
You're not catching carnage in Heaven ever.
Like, literally, if not for a long while. It's just so overplayed. I've been going to Heaven, like,
would
every Friday
there?
And Saturday. I would, yeah.
Oh, okay, fine.
But like every Friday and Saturday since I was like 18 with me and my best friend, you know. And it's now overplayed.
I went
so
there a
Jeremy
couple of times.
Joseph, get cottage on the phone.
I mean, it's cute or whatever, but
for you, those of you who don't know, work is a was a POC night. It's sort of like Bootylicious a little bit. It's R&B.
I love Bootylicious.
It was R&B, Garage Bashment, whatever. But anyway, they used to have it in Heaven, and that was my first time there. So 10 years I've been out on the scene now, so I feel like I know a little thing or two
seasoned
about
bitch.
Being on the scene. Seasoned. But I will tell you, did you call me seasoned?
Yeah. You're a little bit long in the tooth.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. but it was sort of the first time I've been out and I've actually experienced prejudices against my colour. Funny enough, like
in the whole of 10 years,
I've never experienced it ever.
Wow.
And if I did, I didn't know it was happening. But basically what happened was I went to GAY because, you know, she was short on the coin and she wanted a £1.70 drink. And
sorry to cut you, but yeah. The thing is, yeah, I will go GAY.
Because
I just feel like GAY is more social.
Yeah, it is more social.
It is more
Do you know
social.
What I mean?
Yeah, like, I think it's a more social place.
I enjoy GAY, but it's, like Heaven, I just feel like everybody...
It's not really GAY, it's not really like a clubbing type place. Yeah. It's where you go before you go somewhere else.
I don't literally. Think majority of people, but people that I speak to anyway, plan at this age to go to Heaven.
Yeah.
You've gone to GAY and you are wasted. So you're like, do you want to go to... You know, there's wristband people. Do you want to go to Heaven? You're like, sure. I don't think anyone plans at this age to go to Heaven anymore.
Even, but Heaven's been around for a long time because my mum has been Heaven.
Oh, really?
They used to go like every Wednesday when they was like my age.
But Lee, tell your story.
So basically, I went out to GAY, as I was saying, and this, I feel like she was South African. This woman came up to me and she was like, I'm dating a black man.
Why did she come up to you for?
I don't know. I didn't know her. I was with my friends. She was like, I'm dating a black man. Because again, like GAY is not, it's mostly Caucasian people that are there. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of black people. So I guess she singled me out. But anyway, she was like, I'm dating a black man. And she was like, I love black man. He has a big black cock. And are you African? I was like, no, I'm from the Caribbean. My family's Jamaican, Grenadian. She was like, oh no, can't date you. You guys are all cheaters.
and you I should have said bitch.
I was like,
did you say
okay, cool. I was like, have a nice night. And she was like, no, take a picture of me so I can make my black boyfriend jealous. And what kind of made me feel uncomfortable was the fact that she kept on saying black kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand why she couldn't just say that I have a boyfriend kind of thing.
I'm not grown enough for them kind of conversations.
It was weird. And then I left GAY, went to Circa, which is around the corner, and I was with my work colleague and he saw one of his friends because he goes to Circa quite a lot. And this guy was wearing a puffer jacket, which is similar to mine. I have this massive puffer jacket and he had one in orange. And I was like, this is a fabulous coat. Now, the guy who's in orange, his friend had lots of tattoos down his arms. So I was like, I really like your tattoos, which I thought was a nice thing to say. He was like, thank you. I was like, have you had any interest in learning how to tattoo other people? And his friend in the orange coat was like, oh, I think you should. I think you really enjoy it. And the guy turned around to me and said, yeah, I'm thinking of learning how to tattoo. But to be honest with you, I don't think I'll be any good, but I can practice on your skin because it's black.
Hold on. This is why I sell down my wigs when I go out.
Because it's black.
Because hold on, my hands are too free.
Because it's black and I can make mistakes. And I was like, are you hearing yourself right now? You just said that out loud.
Do you know, yeah, like I don't know who you was with.
I know,
with.
I'm very democratic, aren't I?
I don't know who you was with.
I just don't know why these things happen and I'm not there.
That's what I'm thinking.
The one thing that I will say is that both these people were white, but they both weren't English people. So that is the takeaway that I'm taking. I'm trying to look at it as glass half full. They weren't English people. One was the guy was Eastern European. This woman, from what I could hear from her, was South African. But what it brings me into is the fact that there is a lot of these prejudices that happen on the scene, offline, in clubs and online, on Grindr and stuff like that. And I just wanted to find out from you guys, is it something that you've experienced, whether it's your colour, whether it's the position that you are in bed, whether it's how tall you are, what has your experiences been like on the scene? Like, because I haven't really experienced it about my colour. I've experienced it with other things, but definitely not my colour.
Like what?
Mostly, I'm not masculine enough. That's basically it. Like, when you meet, especially black guys, so that's prejudices from people within our own community, where they expect you to be more masculine or not to wear jeans that are too tight because
right,
they
I
don't want
to touch on that point, right? The thing is, my experience, like, with that is, because obviously, like, I'm not... I don't cut people out. Like, I've been with black guys and white guys and whatever. Let's not get into that. But my experience with black men has always been they love the fact that I look feminine and all that kind of stuff. Do you know what I mean? I've never been kind of singled out for that.
Mm. Yeah, but when you were dating before you got married.
Yeah.
Yes. Before you got married, you would have seen on apps that a lot of guys are looking masculine for masculine. How feminine are you? And they're normally guys that are discreet or DL, which I have no interest in.
Oh my gosh, but see, that's the thing that I don't find. I think that's the opposite. I think DL guys or like straight curious look for more feminine guys.
I haven't had that experience.
It's true, I think so.
Yeah, that's been my experience.
Well, I don't know. Sometimes it is and it isn't. There's some people who I've met and they're like, they DL and they need somebody more masculine so they can cover, like, it's not obvious if they're walking together, if they're in a car, or if they're DL. Some people do prefer people who are more masculine. And I've had that situation as well, where somebody said that I'm too feminine or too rowdy for them, that I'm too bait, like, outside, like, whatever. And I'm thinking, right, okay. but going back to your point in regards to racism, I think, personally, from what I've seen and learned and researched to whatever in terms of queer history, it actually, the issue is so deep and so historical. Like, for example, in obviously the Vogan houses that started, when I watched a lot of documentaries about that, how it started as a community, like, they were very racist towards each other. And that's one of the reasons why Vogan started, because it was a place for black queer people to go because they couldn't get into the clubs in Manhattan, in the gay white clubs. Do you know what I mean? And that's how it's always been, and it still goes on till now.
But I also want to make a point that it's not just a white and black issue, because there's a lot of colorism that happens within our own community.
Yeah.
I was at Black Pride 2 prides ago, and I went with my friends, and we went to meet his friends, and there was a large amount of them which were either light-skinned or mixed race, and they were like, let's take a light-skinned selfie, you can't be in it, you're too dark.
I would have said I wouldn't want to be in with you light-skinned people anyway.
What I'm saying is that it's not just a white and black issue. It's an issue that we have within ourselves, where people feel like if you are lighter then you're more desirable.
Which is not true, 100%.
But can I just say something? Like, in regards to that, where do you think that idea of colour, the colour chart came from? It does.
I know that.
That's what I'm saying. This issue about race is actually so deep.
Yeah.
And even within ourselves, like, criticising ourselves depending on colour, that's something that was put there, do you know what I'm saying, by... There's a bigger picture. That's the point I'm trying
to
say.
But I'm just trying to pull the mask off the idea that, you know, the gay community doesn't have those issues because, you know,
we're supposed to be so accepting.
We're supposed to be so open-minded and so accepting. And at the end of the day, we have just, I feel like, sometimes more.
You know, for me, I feel like before we even start looking at our own selves and our own issues, there's still a lot of this. Okay, I'll give you an example. Yeah, and I don't know if I said this before. When last year, when it was like the 50 years of gay pride or whatever liberation, I went on TV and I was looking at all the content, and all the channels brought out so much content. Like,
oh, like last year, right?
Last year,
yeah, it was lots.
I look at everything on Channel 4 to the. Everything about being gay was just from white people. That was just from white people. And there's an issue there. And this is why what we're doing is so important, because it seems that the way the media perceived it, or the large society, is that black people aren't gay.
Right. I want to say something, because this is the thing.
Or,
like,
sorry to cut you off, and please remember that point because I won't remember mine. But, or whenever they do have people of colour in... LGBT documentaries is my mom kicked me out of the street.
Yes, right.
Okay. Yeah, not only that, but also,
it's always this miserable.
But also they pick people that are palatable to them, if I be honest with you.
No, but this is the thing. First of all, I want to say, right, nobody ain't really checking for light skinned anymore. let's put that out there first of all, because, not being funny, like, if I was available, you know, I can't remember the last time I've really actually looked at somebody that was light skin and said, oh, I prefer you over a dark skin guy. Do you get what I mean? Like, black is beautiful. Mm. Dark skin is beautiful. Do you get what I mean?
The gay
community can be very whitewashed. Don't get me wrong. Do you get what I mean? But that's just fact. That's how it's been. Yeah. And it's because you have DL guys that don't want to come out of the closet, that, you know, are too scared to stand up and be who they are.
Speak
and put
on
themselves
it.
Out there in the media. Do you get what I mean? You know, so obviously it's going to continue to be whitewashed until black people stand in their truth. And I feel like a lot of black people need to get out of their head that, oh, because I'm not light skinned, nobody wants me. That's a fucking lie.
Yeah.
No, as I said, it's 2018.
Listen, I love men of color. I love all shades of men of color. I love men of color.
Whatever.
I love men of color. But what I will say to you is that I have found in my own experience that light skin and mixed race men seem to be a lot of work.
Yeah.
Honestly,
it's because they've got it in their head that they're just
they're a lot of work.
What do you mean?
A lot of work, a lot of drama. And I don't want to put you all in a box, but this is the box that I have right now. It's a lot of work.
I'm not putting you all in a box, but the light skin guys that I've seen, they were really, you know, packing. So
Honey.
No shade against light skin boys. I'm sure there's some nice ones out there.
They're beautiful.
Like, when you come for dark skin, I am dark skinned. So, you know.
Dark skin is beautiful too.
Exactly. So when you come for dark skin people, all team light skin.
I'm team dark skin then.
Yeah.
I don't like that. Why are we having the teams at all?
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
No, but this is the point that I'm trying to make. Like, there's a bigger picture. There's things that were put in place. We were taught to think that, even within ourselves, that a lighter person, because it's the most closest to white, that's where it comes from.
But I feel like people need to get
that's where it comes from. So wait, the point I was trying to make is that there's a bigger picture of white supremacy and racism that still continued, that is still continuing to this day. And I'm saying that until we address that issue of white supremacy and those concepts like that, until we address that issue head on, we can't deal with our issues within our community, within ourselves. That's what I'm trying to say to you, is that you're trying to say, oh yeah, we should look at ourselves first. But I'm like, no, let's look at the bigger picture first, look at where all these issues within ourselves came from, because we didn't have those concepts of lighter shade or whatever. That's an idea of supremacy.
But I feel like people need to go off their soapbox.
I don't agree. I think that, yes, we should look at the bigger picture. I think you should be educated. I think you should understand. I think you should understand the institution that we are living in. By the end of the day, you as a person, as a singular person, should understand that when that bullshit comes out of your mouth, it's not something that you should be saying as a person of color.
No, but remember, if slavery was to come back or the KKK was to come, all of us are getting swept up, honey. So don't be trying to say, oh, team light skin, team dark skin, because you're black. They're not seeing that. They're not seeing light skin, dark skin. They're seeing you're black, you've got colour to you, you're getting swept up as well.
Exactly.
So
we're the same.
Exactly.
I mean, it's interesting because I was having a conversation with my sister. My sister wants to be an actress, right? Yeah, she wants to be an actress. She actually was inspired by me. She's actually wants to be a film actress, but she was inspired by me because I had a small role in adulthood. If you know that film, I was 12 years old. I was the boy with the afro and the academic tracksuit. So,
is it?
Yeah. So I was also in The Bill too. You remember that show? It was a national show.
The Bill. You was in The Bill.
Yeah, I was in The Build.
I want to see.
But that was number two.
That was another life. But anyway, I was speaking to her about, does she feel like she has role models that she can emulate a career after? And she actually brought it up and she said that it's funny because everybody that she looks at, they don't seem to look like her. She was like, yes, I can talk about Viola Davis, but she was like, that's one person. Lupita, that's just another person. But she was like, when you really look at, for example, the music industry right now, everybody who is majorly successful seems to have the same skin tone.
Yeah.
If you look
and
at
honestly,
Rihanna, Nicki, Beyonce,
and what about people like SZA? You know, what about people like Kendrick Lamar? She's coming up.
When you look at the 90s and you look at how many people were dark skinned and really successful, you just don't have that right now. I think Matthew Knowles said it. Beyonce wouldn't be
successful.
He wouldn't be as successful if she wasn't. If she was dark skin, she's successful because she's light skin.
No, and I agree. And that I keep saying that the only reason why people like that is because when you're looking at a product, obviously you guys know in regards to like any industry, the bigger audience is white people. So if you can sell
even in grime music, people, grime music
is mostly white people. So obviously that's the reason why, you know, Whitney Houston had this saying, is saying, can I just be me or whatever? Because the issue that she struggled with is that everybody tried to whitewash her. The way she speaks, the way she talks, the way she dressed, like they try to make her palatable to the white community. And that means that you can't even talk about certain issues that you face in your community or whatever.
That's why we're all moving to Wakanda. But moving on, people, dear Carnage, and y'all know this is the part of the show where Carnage Kills gives some advice you people whose life is a mess.
Well, so come on, Carnage. I've not really got a question.
Okay, what have you got for us this week?
I've more got kind of like a situation, let's call it.
Yeah.
So obviously, like, there's a lot of people not using correct gender pronouns and all that kind of stuff, you know? So I really want us to kind of talk about that, how we feel about that, you know, because I know as a femme gay man, I still get mistaken as female all the time. Yeah. Do you get what I mean? Yeah. You know? And I want to know how do you not feel about that? Because I know at first,
what do you mean though?
Okay, so obviously, like, I look really femme, like in the face and like hair and all that shit. Do you know what I mean?
Really?
Yeah. What? Are you trying to be shady? But like,
bitch always got his hair laid all the time, like, ready.
In it, step your hair up. But okay, but like, I kind of, at first, I used to find it as a compliment because obviously it meant that, you know, my look was coming across how I wanted it to. But now I kind of feel annoyed by it.
So let me ask you,
I correct people all the time.
Somebody perceives you to be a woman because of the image you're putting out and then you correct them and you say, no, I'm actually a guy and I want to be referred to as he. Is that okay with you? Or do you just expect people to just know?
Right. So I can't expect people to just know.
Okay, fine. So
because everybody, it's black and white to people that aren't in our community. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like but I just feel like it's just the hair. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, really? Absolutely.
Because not being funny, like, there are times when my best friend, he's got long hair and he'll get mistaken for a woman. And I'm thinking he doesn't even look femme. Do you know what I mean? Apart from he has long hair.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's just people just not really using their eyes and their brain and they're just kind of...
So what is upsetting you?
What not upsets me, but it's just kind of like, okay, well... It's like, okay, so at work, if I'm at work, I'll still, like, look beat in the face and, like, hair and stuff. But, like, I'll wear a shirt, like, what all the other guys are wearing. Okay, do you know what I mean? Yeah. And, like, I'll dress like all the other guys are dressing. But, like, still, I'll still get, like, mistaken. Everybody in my workplace knows now.
Yeah.
They know me and, like, depends on how I'm feeling. But, But if I still get mistaken, sometimes it does annoy me. I'm not going to front.
But I think, like...
I can understand that. You want people to see you for who you are.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I'm the wrong person to ask, to be honest with you, because when it comes to, like, pronouns, I'm literally the worst person. It took me so long to
understand?
Like, to remembering all the time to use the right pronouns.
What do you mean?
Like, remembering to say, if somebody identifies as male or them, it's very, very hard for me to... Or even sometimes a lot of my friends have changed their names as well. And I really struggled to keep remembering, like, no, that's not her name. Do you know what I mean? I struggle to, like, with pronouns and
stuff
like
that. So
that
sounds like a personal issue. But anyway.
And what I mean to say is that what I've learned is that it's literally bespoke to every single individual. And you can never, ever say. Yeah. So the best thing to do is just really be open and try your best and... Like, obviously, giving people the opportunity to learn and make mistakes and use the right pronouns or whatever and give people the right information.
See, I feel like anything that or any pronoun or however somebody wants to be identified, if you allow me to make the mistake and correct me or anybody... then it's fine. I'm happy for you to be identified as whatever. But did you see
any clips of Celebrity Brother just gone with India Willoughby, who was in there. And she was relentless with the fact that obviously she's a transgender woman.
Yeah.
And people were making mistakes where they were referring to her as a he. Mm. And she never gave them any space to be to make that mistake, which was a very, in my opinion, generally was a mistake. It wasn't they were trying to be...
And you can't attack people for not knowing.
Yeah, she's like, I'm a woman! Yeah. Do you understand?
But it makes me look, it makes me wonder what is going on, because like, if you're like... mistaking a guy who is clearly identifies as a guy, and you're referring to me thinking that I'm actually natural born vagina woman, and then like as a trans, you're calling transgender women he. Do you know what I mean? Like, what is going on?
I really think it's different things. Every situation is different, so I do think that there's people who she might be frustrated with who just say the wrong thing just accidentally. But I have honestly seen myself with people who are malicious with it.
Oh, 100%. But they're always going to have those
with
people.
Family, like, even with families, I've seen a lot of documentaries where their mum was just like, they've refused.
Yeah.
Even though the person has had a complete change, looks like a complete woman, everything, but the mum will refuse to use
but darling,
the
people,
right pronoun.
People are always going to... You're always going to have...
That's annoying.
You're always going to have ignorant people.
Yeah,
but... I feel like there's a lot of people, and we're privileged to live in, I would say, in London, in a society where you will do have those ignorant people, but there's a lot of people who are open enough to understand that you want to identify as other things.
You can't attack people for not using the right pronoun. But what pisses me off is if I say to somebody, I'm a guy, you know, if I tell you, then automatically I start thinking, oh, maybe you start looking properly and you might start seeing it. But like, literally, I'll be like, I'm a guy. And then it will still be like, oh, mispronoun, oh, she did it. Oh, so sorry. Did it. She did it. And I'm thinking,
that's really strange.
You're
you
saying
know?
It how many times? Like, how many times do I need to tell you? Now I'm getting pissed off. Do you get what I
right,
mean?
Right.
Like, it'll be, oh, you're so pretty. I'm so sorry. Did it. That's not cutting it for me. Don't talk to me then. If I've told you and you're still getting it wrong.
Yeah. I think, do you know the funny thing in that case is so interesting, because I think everybody in general, in terms of pronoun, is so adjusting to calling somebody the opposite. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Because I'll tell you guys this. I mean, I recently had a conversation with somebody who is non-binary, right?
Yeah.
It was the first time I've had a conversation with someone who's non-binary, and I said to them, and I'd like to hear you guys' opinion on this. I said, I think the problem that you'll have with non-binary is not the fact that you don't want to be identified as anything. For people who are open-minded enough to accept the fact that you want to be identified as neither a male or a female, I think the problem that you're going to have is the language. Because you want to be referred to as they or them. And for most people, that's going to be confusing.
Yeah.
So
I think people are learning, though. It's coming up as a thing.
I mean, within our community and allies, But I mean, how do you implement that into written text?
You mean in terms of like applications?
No, in terms of I'm writing a novel.
Do you, that's what I mean in terms of
if they or them is now a singular person.
Yeah,
what replaces that word?
But do you feel like we take it too far?
Because I don't. Yeah, I'll speak to that in a second. But I don't understand, because my thing is, for most people, they or them is plural.
Yeah,
there's a group of people.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You want it now those words to be singular.
Yeah.
What do you replace those words with?
I don't know. You know, I always say that language is an organic thing. You don't choose. Language develops by itself.
Because they is two people.
Yeah, I know. But obviously it would naturally come. You know, it would...
What do will come? That's how, I'm not going to go around and start saying they.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Things change. Language is an organic thing that develops. It's just like...
But do you only do that to people who are part of the LGBT community? Do you do that
to
straight people?
Everyone now.
Okay. Because...
Everyone's getting used to it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who's everyone?
Everybody.
No, I just do it. I just say that if I'm writing an email, I'll be like, they... Da-da-da-da-da. Do you got what I mean? Or I use the person's name. I won't really say he or she.
Because my thing is, if your name is Harry or John, in the email, I'm going to say he, okay? If your name is Apple...
So you think people should change? Basically, you're saying...
I might say them, because I don't know. I'm not sure. Yeah. Right. But if your name is Harry or Susanna, I am going to assume you are a female or a male. Is that wrong?
I'm not gonna lie.
This really teach me, because I don't know.
This is when being liberal is so fucking annoying, because it's so much work, because you have to please everybody.
But are we taking it too far as a community?
That's what I'm thinking. Like,
because we want people to take gay people seriously, but now we're telling them I don't want to be gay. I don't even want to be trans. I just want to be nothing.
No, but I don't know.
I have no problem with people. If you say today, yesterday I was gay and now I'm a butterfly, I have no problem with that. I want to be a butterfly.
That sounds like me.
That's fine. I have no problem with that. But what I'm saying is, you're impacting an entire language, okay, by saying they, them. My name is Harry, but I am not a he. I am a they. But, and that is fine. Yeah. But you cannot. Because listen, if you bring a friend and that friend looks masculine, he looks male, right? And then everybody around your friend is referring to that person as a she, you will probably just do it anyway. Yes. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they and them is very confusing, because I'm always going to look for, where's the rest of the people?
I think it's gonna come up naturally. You know, that's just the way language works. It's like Brexit. To explain Brexit, that's a term that was coined through the press, through the media. So like, when something happens, it would just happen naturally.
And I just want to put a disclaimer out there. I have no problem with non-binary people. No, I think that's great. You can identify as whatever, but I'm just saying like sometimes the language is confusing.
A bit non-binary.
But going back to your point, you can't be aggressive towards people, because the fact of the matter is, straight people are not going to understand gay people problems. It's just fact.
It's true.
So you cannot expect to go out into the world where straight people also exist and say, you must... No, to refer to me as they, them. Do you get what I mean? Give people a chance. Because obviously you're giving them a lot of information to digest at once.
Yeah, it's true. You have to give people room to grow.
Well, I think Carnage said a mouthful. And yes. I think Carnage was right. But that it brings us to an end of another episode of Wolves in the City. It was a pleasure speaking to you guys. And make sure you tune in next week for another episode of Wolves in the City. Bye, honey.